This book looks at why, even when we have things so good, so many people seem to be struggling with their mental health. It deals with milder forms of depression and anxiety, but not bipolar disorder or schizophrenia. There are two reasons for this. First and foremost, bipolar disorder and schizophrenia are far too complex to explore within the scope of a single popular science book. Secondly, the mental health problems that appear to be on the rise in today's society tend to be milder forms of mental illness. Schizophrenia and severe forms of bipolar disorder are not on the rise, and therefore the arguments highlighted here are not applicable to them. In this book, I present a biological way of viewing our mental and physical health that I know from experience many people find helpful. If you're feeling down, seek help, as there is help available. And if you're taking any medication for a psychiatric condition, always consult your doctor first before making any changes. Introduction. Why do we feel so bad when we have it so good? You will probably feel down from time to time. Perhaps you suffer from mild anxiety or occasionally find yourself struck by utter debilitating panic. Perhaps at one point in your life, things felt so bleak that you could hardly get yourself out of bed. Come to think of it, this is all a little strange, as between our ears, we hold a biological marvel so advanced it should be able to cope with, well, anything. Your ever-changing, remarkably dynamic brain consists of 86 billion cells with at least 100 trillion connections. These create intricate networks that govern all of the body's organs, all while processing, interpreting, and prioritizing an endless stream of sensory impressions. Your brain can store the information equivalent of 11,000 libraries packed full of books. That's how much your memory can actually hold. And yet, within a fraction of a second, it can pull up the most relevant information, even if decades have passed since it was stored, and relate that to what you're currently experiencing. So if your brain can do all of this, why can't it manage a simple task like making you feel fantastic all the time? Why must it insist on putting a spanner in your emotional works? This riddle is made all the more cryptic when we consider that we are living in an age of unparalleled abundance that would knock the socks off pretty much any king, queen, emperor, and pharaoh in history. We are living longer, healthier lives than ever before. And should we ever find ourselves the slightest bit bored, the planet's collective knowledge and entertainment are never more than a few taps away. Still, even though we never had it so good, many of us appear to be struggling. Hardly a day goes by without an alarming report on the rise in mental health problems. In Sweden, 1 in 8 adults is taking antidepressants. The World Health Organization estimates that 284 million people in the world have an anxiety disorder, while 280 million suffer from depression. It is feared that within a matter of years, depression will generate a greater global burden of disease than any other illness. So why then do we feel so bad when we have it so good? This is a question that has nagged me throughout my career. Do 284 million people have a sickness in their brain? Are 1 in 8 adults lacking in certain neurotransmitters? It was only when I realized that we can't simply work from where we are today, but must also take stock of where we have been, that a new way of thinking came to me. An approach that does not only give us a deeper understanding of our emotional lives, but also opens up new ways to improve them. I believe that the answer to why we feel so bad when we have it so good is that we have forgotten that we are biological.